Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank ReTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can reach the show on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in ReTalk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, George Floyd, murdered by law enforcement. On May 25th, 2020, George Floyd was murdered while being restrained by Minneapolis police. He was unarmed, identified as being in medical duress, lying down on the ground, handcuffed behind his back with a knee being applied to his neck. Some people say America's law enforcers have a racial problem. Some say it's a class problem. Some say it's a blue problem. Some say it's just some bad apples taking full advantage of having a badge, a gun, a police force, a police union, a mayor, and a judicial system behind them. Maybe it's all the above. I guess some cops really don't give a damn, or they're just plain stupid. It appears that the people of all races are fed up with police murdering civilians and not being held accountable for it, not being pursued like civilians are pursued when suspected of videotape committing a crime, receiving leniency in the criminal judicial and process, and what appears to be getting away with murder. These are not new occurrences. They are unjust, tragic things that continue to occur. Today's media technology allows us to bear witness to the transgressions of many. In this case, law enforcement again. It has sparked intense protests all over the country. Some protests have become violent. Some police departments are condemning what police in Minneapolis did to George Floyd. Here's what happened. Here's how it started. A Minneapolis African-American man was choked to death while handcuffed behind his back, laying face down on the ground after this call to police on 5/25/2020. This is the transcript. The operator 911 asked what's the address of the emergency. Caller gave the address. Operator said, you know, how can I help you? Say, oh, someone comes our store to give us fake bills. Someone comes our store to give us fake bills, and we realized it before he left the store, and we ran back outside. They were sitting on their car. Now, it sounds like they might be foreigners or something like that. I don't know. Not Americans. That language, that English seems to be a little broken right there. We tell them to give us their phone, put their thing back, and everything, and he was also drunk, and everything, and returned to us our cigarettes back, and so he can go home, but he doesn't want to do that. He is sitting on his car because he is awfully drunk, and he's not in control of himself. Operator, okay, what type of vehicle does he have? Caller. And he's got a vehicle that's, 1 second, let me see. He goes out, gets the license number. Operator, okay, what color is it? It's a blue color. It's a blue van. Okay, blue van, caller, yes. Operator, all right, blue van, gotcha. Is it out front or is it on 38th Street? It's on 38th Street. Operator, on 38th Street. So, this guy gave a counterfeit bill, has your cigarettes, and he's under the influence of something? Caller, something like that, yes. He's not acting right. Caller, what's he look like? What race? Caller, he's a tall guy. He's like tall and bald, about six and a half, and she's not acting right. So, and she started to go drive the car. Operator, okay, so female or male? Is it a girl or boy? Caller, it's a man. Operator, okay. Is he white, black, native, Hispanic, Asian? Caller, something like that. Operator, which one? White, black, native, Hispanic, Asian? Caller, no, he's a black guy. Operator, all right. Caller, how is your day going? Operator, not too bad. Caller, had a long day, huh? Operator, what's your name? Caller, my name is whatever, right? Operator, all right. A phone number for you? Caller, gave the phone number. Operator, all right. I've got help on the way. If that vehicle or person leaves before we get there, just give us a call back. Otherwise, we'll have squads out there shortly. Caller, no problem. Operator, thank you. That's how it all started. From Now This News. Four cops fired after black man who pleaded, "I can't breathe," died in police custody. Right? They say that George Floyd died at a hospital after his violent arrest was captured on camera, and the officers involved have been fired. From NBC News, medics worked on an unresponsive Floyd in an ambulance, but several checks and administering at least one shock to him, according to a report from the Minneapolis Fire Department. Okay. I guess this is my pet peeve right here, because I went into the whole clinical death thing. Clinical death is the medical term for the cessation of blood circulation and breathing. You don't have that, right? The two criteria necessary to sustain the lives of human beings and many other organisms. It occurs when the heart stops beating in a regular rhythm, a condition called cardiac arrest. From Healthline, the most common causes for a weak or absent pulse are cardiac arrest and shock. Cardiac arrest occurs after someone's heart stops beating. Shock happens when blood flow is reduced to vital organs. This causes a weak pulse, rapid heartbeat, shallow breathing, and unconsciousness. Who can we trust? It sounds like this man was dead on the scene. From Complex, the preliminary results of George Floyd's autopsy suggest there were a number of factors that contribute to the 46-year-old's death. The report conducted by the Hennepin County Medical Examiner states there were no physical findings that support a diagnosis of traumatic asphyxia or strangulation. However, the combined effects of being pinned down by an officer as well as his underlying health conditions and any potential intoxicants in his system likely contributed to his death. Okay, that's very important to pay attention to what the coroner is saying. Basically, they're saying that he wasn't strangled by knee. But in the same breath, he's saying the combined facts are being pinned down by the officer, right, who was pinning him down by his neck and his conditions and possible intoxication contributed to his death. From Fox News, the family of George Floyd has retained prominent forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Baldwin to perform an independent autopsy. All right, because I mean, if you guys see the video, I think probably everybody has seen that video. Anyway, police had arrested Floyd and were trying to put him in a squad car when he stiffened up and fell to the ground, saying he was claustrophobic, according to the very interesting right there. First, to contribute means to take part in or also cause. In this case, to cause the death of George Floyd. If the officers had not physically restrained the apparently medically needy Floyd, they would have not been complicit in his death. This is a perfect scenario of what not to do if police suspect that a suspect is under medical duress. It is a perfect scenario for why police should not use lethal force when restraining a suspect. You do not put a knee in the neck of a suspect. You do not ignore the suspect's cry for life, for breath, as you continue to put your knee in his neck. If you do, you are intending to, knowingly and willfully taking his life. If Floyd is unresponsive at the scene, no heartbeat, that is why they attempted to shock his heart with the defibrillator. He either had a very irregular heartbeat, which means not beating properly to support life, right? They did at the scenes at the hands of so-called law enforcement. As far as policy goes, because a lot of people like to hide behind policy. And, you know, I say policy and law is not always right, because there was a time in this country it's okay to own slaves, to enslave people. It was all right to restrict the what a black person could do in this country. Even women couldn't vote at one time. So just because it's a law don't mean it's ethical, doesn't make it right or anything like that. It just says it's a law. So some people like to hide behind policy. So just in case, say, Minneapolis has this policy where they use this knee choke thing, which is really a lethal thing to do. Any policy that directs, encourages law enforcement to apply any amount of pressure to a suspect's neck places the suspect in high risk of injury and or death. This is a lethal restraint. Healthline. The neck is particularly vulnerable to injury. This is especially true with falls, car accidents, and sports, where the muscles and ligaments of the neck are forced to move outside their normal range. If your neck is dislocated or fractured, or spinal cord, your spinal cord may also be damaged. So the neck is a very fragile part of the body. So why would you, if you had half of a brain, maybe a quarter of a brain, apply your neck, your knee to a man's neck? This is obviously the stupidest and deadliest tactic or policy I have ever heard. Policy is no excuse for murdering a non-life-threatening suspect, not to mention a subdued suspect in medical duress, crying for air to sustain his life. You cannot hide behind policy. Why weren't they arrested on the scene? all these murderers in jail. Floyd was arrested after a store owner reported he or someone fitting his description attempted to pass a counterfeit $20 bill. Hell, that could have been anybody. Why arrest in the first place? The counterfeit bill could have been passed to Floyd, making him a victim of a counterfeiting scheme. This happens all the time. That's why the stores be checking the money with the pen. He's not a counterfeit dollar expert. We're going to go ahead. A video from the May 25th arrest shows the officer kneeling on the neck of Floyd, who repeatedly said he could not breathe. Daniela Frazier, a 17-year-old from Minneapolis, filmed the murder of Floyd on her, I guess, her cell phone and sent it, you know, through the internet. It went viral. After video footage was taken showing Minneapolis police kneeling on the neck of a man, Mr. Floyd, who was repeatedly saying, "I can't breathe," four officers have been fired from the department. The man, identified as George Floyd, died at the hospital. I just sound to me like this man is dead at the scene. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. Anyway, Floyd was named by the city's mayor, Jacob Fry, and attorney, Benjamin Crump, who's getting a lot of work in because of these, a lot of black men are being just murdered. Unarmed black men at that. On Tuesday, Frey announced that, this happened on a Monday, Frey announced that the four officers involved in Floyd's death have been terminated, saying it was the right call. The FBI will lead an investigation into whether there was a civil rights violation. I'd say his right to due process had been seriously violated, because those guys served as judge and jury. Police Chief Madeira Arandondo said Tuesday the department has not publicly identified the officers who were fired. So Monday this man was killed. Tuesday they didn't identify the officers that were fired. What's that all about? And how come the mayor fired them and not the police? Maybe that's the way they do it in Minnesota, though. On Monday, two officers ordered Floyd to get out of a car over an alleged forgery in progress, and they claim he physically resisted the officers, according to the police report. So they on the police report, they say, "Yeah, we ordered him to get out of the car, and he physically resisted us, you know." And they said Floyd was on top of a blue car and appeared to be under the influence, police said. Now, I don't know how you can order somebody to get out of a car that he's on top of. Part of the discrepancies in the report, police reporting here, I guess they're trying to get the story right. Or either the reporter got the story wrong. Video of the incident showed at least one officer kneeling on the neck of Floyd repeatedly saying, "Please, I can't breathe. I cannot breathe. And they're going to kill me." Police said they called the ambulance after handcuffing him. So Floyd was handcuffed way before he was on the ground. Okay, that's another thing to pay attention to. They said they were after handcuffing Floyd, they called the ambulance because he appeared to be in medical duress. Okay, now, from provocative thought, is that an appropriate logical procedure to place a knee in the neck of a person police perceive to be in need of medical assistance? What about a handcuffed person in need of medical attention? Is it I mean, this picture is so wrong. It's so many things so wrong about this picture. I can't imagine these dudes ever getting out of jail if they don't get a death penalty. The tyrannical, racial, classist atmosphere was so obvious and thick that the mayor was moved to apologize to the black community the next day. The article goes on to say the mayor apologized to the black community for Floyd's death in a Facebook post on Tuesday and said the killing was wrong at every level. And he called it a killing. So whatever the investigation revealed, it does not change the simple truth, he said. He should still be with us this morning. That's what the mayor of Minneapolis said in a news conference. So the Darnella Frazier streamed the 10-minute video that we saw. It's more to it than her video, though, on Facebook. That would lead to the call for justice and amass more than 760,000 views. The police killed in front of everybody, Frazier said. This is a 17-year-old who took her cell phone and filmed this. She's saying this on her video on Facebook. He was crying, telling them, "I can't breathe," and everything. While one officer kneels on Floyd's neck, Floyd is groaning and screaming and repeatedly says, "I can't breathe. My face. Just get up." At one point, he calls out for his mother. Someone can repeatedly be heard telling Floyd to get up and in the car, though it's unclear who's speaking. At another point, Floyd said, "My stomach hurts, my neck hurts, everything hurts." Several people can be heard in the background telling the officers to stop hurting Floyd. Several people, I don't know how many people, I look like it was maybe six, eight people out there, I don't know, pointing out that his nose was bleeding. Of course, Officer Chauvin, which is the guy that had the knee on this guy's neck, didn't listen to them. He should have. The lawyer, the attorney for Floyd family, released a statement on Tuesday. He said, "This is the same guy that's representing, I think, Aubrey, also the Aubrey family. This abusive, excessive, and inhumane use of force cost the life of a man who was being detained by police for questioning about a nonviolent charge." Mr. Said Crump, who has also represented the family of Ahmed Aubrey and Breonna Teller, the girl that was shot as the police just broke into the house, didn't announce herself, and they shot her like eight times in her boyfriend's apartment or house. It's the wrong house at that. Matter of fact, the people that they were looking for had already been in custody. Anyway, the two black Americans killed recently. So we watched the horrific death of George Floyd on video as witnesses begged. How often you see that? Witnesses begged the police officer to take him to the police car and get off his neck. And I seen some people move towards Floyd, and I watched the video, and Officer Thong, whatever you say his name is, when he was standing in front of him, he blocked the path. So why was he on the ground in the first place? It just seems so bizarre, this whole situation with George Floyd. Why is he even on the ground? It's like, when you think about it, what the hell's going on here? You call a ambulance for a man that you say is medically needy, but you got this guy handcuffed behind his back on the ground with a knee in his neck, broad daylight. There's witnesses there. There's people filming with their cell phones, iPhones, whatever kind of, you know, thing they got. And these guys, they don't care. I mean, somebody help me out? Because is it that sweet that you could just kill a man and just do what you want to do with somebody and not even worry about it, even if they put you on videotape? Because it seems like that's the message I'm getting from these guys' actions. That it don't matter. You can take what I'm doing if you want to. Not going to be penalized for this. Anyway, from the Independent, a new video. This is not Darnellis. What's her name? Darnellis' video. Ms. Frazier's video. This is a new video. You know, because originally they said they took him from the car and he resisted arrest. But they had another video. So Floyd being dragged from his car without resisting arrest. Who can you trust? You know, I mean, it seems like trust is out of the window. And I'm not saying, in this case, I mean, in this particular instance, trust is just out of the window. People just trying to control the scenario and just write their own story. Anyway, the Minneapolis Police Department later confirmed that four officers were dismissed after the national condemnation of their actions, right? This was seen on police, seen in video, shared online, went viral, right? So we got, this video came out, I don't know when it came out, but the first video don't even show the original arrest. It looked like they arrested him over by the store. You see him walking over with handcuffs on. They put him on a wall. His hands up behind his back. Put him on a wall. He sits down, right? Then I think they pick him up and take him over across the street, which don't make no sense to me. You got a man in medical duress. What are you asking him to get up and walk anywhere unless there's a hospital across the street? You know, what the hell's going on? Then he ends up over there, and I don't know if they're trying to say that's when they tried to put him in a car or not. Are you stiffened up when they tried to put him in a vehicle over there? You know, that doesn't make sense because you should have drove over there the way he was at, right, if you were trying to put him in a vehicle. Then he said he was claustrophobic and things like that. You know, this, I don't know, story right? And, you know, that happens a lot when you're lying. Hard to get that story right to make it fit. So I suspect that the story is going to change and change and change. It's going to evolve and so forth like that. Anyway, the question is, does that mean that without the video, these monsters would still be on the police force? If that girl did not film this video and it went viral, that video wasn't made public, guys still on the street, would they still be like stopping people, handcuffing them behind their back, putting a knee on their neck? Would they still be doing that? No one should die because they resisted arrest. That's it. And the previous video shows the first set of officers that arrested him. It's not even the guy that has his knee on his neck or a thigh, the guy that's standing in front of him. It's neither one of them. It's some other cats. So, no one should die after being subdued by police. You know. Anyway, back to the Independent. The video shows Mr. Floyd's final moments. Showing Mr. Floyd's final moments appears to contradict a police statement that suggests he had resisted arrest before officers forced him to the ground and caused him to lose his breath. So the video is, like I said, you know, you guys look for it on the internet, on YouTube, and take a look at it. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. And I saw the video. The video obtained by Fox 9 shows two policemen pulling Floyd from his car without any apparent resistance. So where did they get the resistance part? Well, is that it? Like, is that like an excuse they use now? I was fearful of my life, He was resisting arrest. Is that like, they just throw that in there just to put it shows the officers handcuffing Mr. Floyd, who can be seen in the video obtained by a CCTV video obtained by CBS, sitting on the ground in apparent compliance with the Minneapolis Police Department, right? So, but no hassle. The man walked over there. My face looked like a little bit, but a little in pain. They had his arm behind him. You see him grimace, you know, like, you know. So if you get your hands behind you, you know, you're not very limber. And he's a pretty muscular dude. You know, that could hurt. You can hurt him by moving his arm a certain way with the hands behind him. He was ordered to step from his car. After he got out, he physically resisted officers, said that, Minneapolis Police Department statement. Sounds like somebody's telling a little lie, right? It added that officers were able to get the suspect into handcuffs and noted he appeared to be suffering medical duress. Well, so if you think somebody's in medical distress, how does he end up walking across the street on his stomach with his hands behind his back with a guy with his knee on his neck? And you see another video, it's like, looks like the two other officers are holding down the rest of his, the lower half of his body. I don't know what they're doing. It's, I don't know, it just looks crazy. So back to Pavlakis. Enough of the lying, dictating or creating a narrative and ignoring the truth. Floyd was handcuffed behind his back, face down on the ground, pleading for his life. This man is pleading for his life. The only thing he resisted was death. Come on. They cannot justify the cold-blooded murder of an unarmed person handcuffed behind his back. This is textbook obstruction of justice, conspiracy, straight up murder. What civil rights? What right? What due process? Why aren't these people, all these people, in jail for this heinous crime? Floyd clearly was not resisting arrest. How did Floyd get from standing with his hands cuffed behind his back, sitting on the ground in the custody of the original arresting officers, to face down on the ground with Chauvin's knee in his neck, being physically restrained by at least three officers as Tao, T-H-A-O, stood guard? How the hell? That's a little too much. Who does that? You ever seen, you know, police just make a person who's physically, you know, ill, or come on, walk you across the street somewhere, and then restrain you? This is too weird. This is like a bad dream, except it's real. If he was in medical distress. Why did they move him across the street to be physically restrained by the gang of four if they were waiting for an ambulance to arrive to Floyd to address Floyd's medical needs? None of this is making sense to me. And, you know, I know I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but this is really just bizarre to me. Just everything these guys are doing. And it's on videotape. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Seems like someone is trying very hard to create and work the scenario. The officer's testimony is suspect based on the inconsistency and the movement from one side of the street to the other. What you moving this guy for? Once taken into custody, what are you in handcuffs for? I don't understand that part, really. Did they find bad money on him? Did they find a printing press in his car or something? I don't get it. Because he could be as much of a victim of counterfeit $20 bill as the store owner. That's the way it happens. You have, that's why they check it. Once taken into custody, the police are responsible for the safety of the suspect. Is that right? If the officers notice Floyd appeared to be suffering medical distress, why exacerbate his condition by moving him? What's up with that? Restraining him face down on the ground, handcuffed behind his back, with the weight of a man's body on his neck for 8 to 9 minutes. At one point, there appears to be three officers restraining Floyd with towels standing over him, standing in the front. But they had somebody else took a video on the other side of that van because you can't see it from Danielle's video. You just see the guy choking. Which they saying he wasn't choked out. The autopsy, his knee in this man's neck. Anyone who is blindly bold, stupid enough to violate a man's human right to life, civil rights in public, ignore his pleas for life, ignore civilians' pleas for his life, with many witnesses present or not, on video, is unfit to be on the street, not to mention unfit to be a law enforcement officer. And that goes for all four of the police officers. If law enforcement is given the task to intervene when a crime is being committed, that intervention should not be limited to so-called civilians. If there is no intervention, law enforcement officers are complicit in the crimes committed by fellow law enforcement officers in their presence. Interventions include verbal intervention, physical intervention, stopping the commission of an offense, arresting the officer offender, not supporting the false narrative, testifying against the actions of the officer offender. I mean, what's the use of having a police force if they're going to allow police to break the law? That makes no sense. Sooner or later, people are going to say, well, y'all ain't, you know, y'all not obeying the law. Why should I? Somebody going to come up with that. Anyway, civilians have a human and constitutional right to defend themselves against the tyranny of other civilians. Federal, state, and local representatives, law enforcement, and or any quasi-military organization seeking to harm them. The Second Amendment ensures Americans the right to bear arms. That is not arms to go hunting some unsuspecting wildlife animal. That is armed to defend tyranny of governments and interest groups. That would include law enforcement. Would those police officers have been successful in murdering Floyd if the concerned Minneapolis community were armed? Some people attempted to intervene, but were easily repelled directly by Officer Dow and the presence of the three other armed officers. 4 9mm, say they got 17 shots with one up. And you unarmed? That would have been more than Mr. Floyd being dead, murdered that day. From us, U.S., according to her Facebook page, Daniela Frazier has been receiving numerous questions about why she didn't fight off police for the duration of the 10-minute video depicting police kneeing Floyd in the neck. In her response, she says that she was scared as a 17-year-old to attempt to fight off any cops or help Floyd. And I get that. That's the whole point. Now, from a provocative sort, really? That sounds a little very that sounds very suspicious. No one in their right mind or sane person would expect an unarmed 17-year-old female to fight four armed police officers. That is why no one attempted to get Chauvin off Floyd or attack the officers. That's like saying, why didn't you die with Floyd that day? Come on, I'm suspicious about anybody that's harassing this young lady about fighting armed murderers. They already shown you they are willing to murder in broad daylight in front of whoever. Now somebody's suggesting that a 17-year-old girl attack these guys? Anyway, constant tyrannical acts of law enforcement are indicative of a need for law enforcement to be policed, monitored, and held accountable for their actions. If they cannot respect the life, rights of another person, maybe they need to fear violating another person. That can only happen if the consequences are as extreme as their violation. They call that punishment to fit the crime. Police should at least be subjected to the same law civilians are subjected to. Murder comes with a severe penalty, death, life, or extremely long prison sentences. If you have a higher standard for committing crimes against law enforcement should be held to a higher standard of law when committing crimes, especially murder. Police, they were fired because they caused the death of a man. We call that murder where I come from. They were just fired. They weren't arrested originally. And I'm just good for the mayor reacted, you know, next day, seen what happened, you know, hey, these guys, they out of here. But nobody arrested them cats. So they on videotape. Anyway. An appropriate civilian intervention may have saved Floyd's life. The officer's job and taxpayer money, because it's going to cost some money. They got to go to court, and they got to do all, they got to be incarcerated and all that stuff. You know, well, one guy's incarcerated anyway. Anyway. It also would have saved community members from the traumatic experience of witnessing a man being murdered in cold blood, a family member being murdered, a friend being murdered. I mean, a 17-year-old girl is seeing a man being murdered by people who, well, I don't know. Do I get to say they're not supposed to be about murdering civilians when they do murder civilians? I don't know. They shouldn't be murdering this guy should not be dead. He shouldn't even be injured, have been injured by police. You came out there on a counterfeit $20 bill, which you know you could have one of them could have a counterfeit $20 in their pocket, depending on where they got their money from, change from. So, you know, so why the handcuffs anyway? I didn't even get the whole handcuffing them thing. He didn't resist, pull him out of the car. He's in medical duress. I don't even get the whole handcuff with the whole thing. You know, it just seemed like everything they did was wrong. Anyway, the mayor of Minneapolis called for criminal charges to be filed against the white police officers seen on video kneeling on the neck of a handcuffed black man during an arrest, even after the man said he couldn't breathe and stopped moving. All officers involved should be charged, just as all individuals would be charged who are involved in a felony murder case, especially the officer that's Floyd protecting Chauvin as he murdered Floyd. Again, what is taking the DA so long to press charges against these criminals? Is it going to take another 2 months, a year before something is done? A threat to the community. And the threat they pose when they murdered Mr. Floyd. You see all the rioting and everything that's going on? If you don't care about that particular man's life, do you care about what's happening now? We have a caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, Carlton.
How
I
you
just
doing?
Wanted to say that there was a guy that tried to come and pull the cop off of him, but he went for his pepper
revolver,
spray to slay him.
Pepper spray? Oh. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Did you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello? Yeah, he went for
Hello?
Pepper spray. Hello?
Right. Yes, he did.
Okay, yeah. So, the fear factor. Yes.
Yeah,
he said, but the guy that tried to help, he moved forward, and the cop reached for his pepper spray.
Exactly.
Right? Right. Which,
right.
You know, would come after the pepper spray, right?
Right.
Right. That's at the beginning.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, right, you know. Right, I mean, you know, and this is why the people are so, have this staunch stance on the Second Amendment of being able to bear arms and things like that, because you need to be able to defend yourself against the tyranny of the state. And here we have a group of people who have been terrorized by the police, have a history of being terrorized by the police departments, which was originally founded to keep the slaves in order, right? Have a history of being terrorized by a police department, and you still see them being just outwardly murdered in public. This is broad daylight in front of witnesses, and the guy looks like he's just waiting on somebody to get some free donuts. He has no expression on his face. He just looks like he's standing in line waiting to get his donuts and his coffee at the donut shop with no kind of, remorse,
right.
No kind of connection to this man losing his life.
It's
sad.
Mm-hmm.
As I said previously, I think these things never actually stop. As my coworkers reiterated on the job, that these things haven't stopped. We just are more privy to them because of this new technology. This cell phone, that might be the worst thing they let people have in terms of revelations and showing what people are doing. Because, even though some people are still getting away with it, you know what I'm saying? They're still getting away with murder, even with the cell phones. I understand they're getting away and they're getting off light and stuff like that. But it's better than not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to have it on film. And you can see what's actually going on. They can try to spin the story any kind of way they want to. But when you see it, just as the mayor said, it, no matter what they come up with, this is wrong. And it is. It's no excuse for that. This all this over a counterfeit $20. You can have a counterfeit $20 in your pocket right now. You just don't know it. Now you go to the store and people checking the dollar, checking the money, writing something. Do you have a pen? Do you check your money like that? No, we don't do that. We don't know if it's counterfeit unless it just looks. Let's just got, Dick Van Dyke's picture on it instead of one of those crazy presidents we had. We don't know. So, this is a nonviolent situation. It ended up in the most heinous type of violence that you could want to see, because this guy was suffering and begging for his life. And that's sad. It's 2020, and it's just like it's 1720, 1620. You know what I'm saying? All of that. It's the same thing. 1520, 1617, 1820, 1920. It sounds like nothing has changed except for we have this technology to show it to you now. You can see it. So it makes me wonder, like, how many people have actually succumbed to these situations before people started, you know, had the ability to film it, you know? And you got to be there to feel some of the stuff. Walter Scott, it's unfortunate, but it was fortunate that a guy was there to film that, you know, because the guy could have shot him once he saw him filming it, you know, just to cover himself. Say, I thought he had a gun. You know, I feared for my life. I thought he had a gun. You know, that's all you need to say. I feared for my life, and, you know, that's it. Especially if it's a black person. Oh, yeah, I can see why. It's, you know, I don't get it, you know. And this is just not a black and white thing. I just want to say that because the protesters come from all backgrounds. You know, I've seen them. I've seen Caucasians, I've seen some Asians out there, and of course I've seen black people out there protesting. And so it's not just a black and white thing. It's I guess it's more complex than we think it is. Even I'm not saying it's not a racial thing either, but I'm saying it goes beyond that. Would you agree with that? Hello?
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
Would you
agree with that? Oh, okay.
I do.
Yeah. So, from the Minnesota Public Radio News, right? There's some little information. Mr. Chauvin, that was the guy who did the knee chokehold. It say online city records also show that he has 17 complaints that have been filed against him. 16 complaints were closed with no discipline.
Yeah.
Now, we got a saying that once you get away with doing something, you know, you get more comfortable doing it. Right? So, you know, that might be the problem with this guy right here, that he has not been disciplined, for he's been able to escape discipline. I don't know what the circumstances of these things are, but I don't know. Maybe he's just, you know, able to escape being disciplined for things he's done. Dial, that's the guy that stood in front of this guy, Chauvin, while he was choking out this brother on the ground. He was sued in federal court 2017 for alleged excessive force. So a knee to the neck. Probably no big deal for this guy either. So they say Dale and his partner stopped the guy, and he was talking to his girlfriend. He was walking to his girlfriend's house in 2014, and for no reason they beat him up. They settled a lawsuit for $25,000. The city shows 6 complaints have been filed against him. 5 were closed with no discipline. You know, so these guys might be a little comfortable with it being in these situations. The other two guys are Thomas Lane and J. Alexander Kung. Thomas Lane joined the force as a cadet in March 2019 to online city records. No information about J. Alexander Kung's service history was immediately available. City records show no complaints against either of them. So, seems like Chauvin and Dale are showing the new pups how the wolves perform their police duties in Minneapolis. Seems like we got a, you know, some that movie Training Day. We got they have two bad trainers showing these guys the rope, the wrong rope, you know. And from NSNBC, Derek Chung, who was fired on Monday along with three other officers involved in the detainment of Floyd, was taken into custody on Friday. That was 4 days later. I just heard that bail was set at $500,000 for him. So, now let me see. I don't know how it goes in Minnesota. If they have to pay 10% of the bail, Sylvan needs, $50,000 to be on the street. That's not a good idea right about now. If they burn his precinct, what do you think they will do to Chauvin? Which brings me to the question, where are those other three guys hiding? Anyway, I looked up the 2019 Minnesota statutes because this guy was charged with, third-degree murder and manslaughter. So murder in the third degree is whosoever, without intent to effect the death of any person, caused the death of another by perpetrating an act imminently dangerous to others and evincing a depraved mind without regard for human life, is guilty of murder in the third degree and may be sentenced to imprisonment for not more than 25 years. So, he fits that perfectly. Right? And they say whoever without intent caused the death of a human being by directly or indirectly, unlawfully selling or giving them drugs, right? But that's not what they did. He gave him a knee to the neck. So manslaughter in the second degree. Manslaughter is the person who caused the death of another person by the following means is guilty of manslaughter in the second degree and may be sentenced to imprisonment for not more than 10 years. So manslaughter in the second degree gets you at most 10 years. And at most, third degree murder gets you 25 years. Of course, I had to look up first-degree murder, and it says, whosoever does any of the following is guilty of murder in the first degree and shall be sentenced to imprisonment for life. Cause the death of a human being with premeditation and with intent to affect the death of the person or of another. Now, first, we got one down and three to go. Already, a decision has been made that has allowed three of the co-conspirators in the murder of Floyd to remain free. One arrest is not good enough. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. Anyone who assisted Chauvin while lethally restraining Floyd is a co-conspirator. Killing a police officer in the commission of his duty constitutes first-degree murder. What about knowingly knee choking and killing a civilian while unarmed, handcuffed behind the back, lying on the ground while ignoring his cries of distress? I can't breathe. While on duty, what about ignoring the cries of the community in distress, alerting the officer of the imminent threat to life the knee choke is causing? Something he should know or be mindful of. That constitutes intent and premeditation because Chauvin had time to think and assess what he was doing to Floyd. He decided to continue until death. There was no heat of passion. Chauvin looked as calm as a police officer waiting to get his free donuts. That is first-degree murder. He had time to think about what he was doing because he was hearing voices. And look at the he doesn't look confused or anything. He looks very I guess if you put a white mask on him, he looks like Michael Myers. You know, he's taking this guy's life and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the look he has on his face. And give me my coffee and donuts while you're all mad at it. That's kind of a nonchalant, blank, sadistic, sociopathic look he had on his face. He was very disconnected from this brother losing his life as a result of what he was doing. From the inside, the police officer who knelt on George Floyd's neck has been involved in shootings and was the subject of 10 different complaints, they said. He has a history of involvement in violent incidents and police shooting. He has been involved in several police shootings and has been the subject of complaints by the City's Review Authority and the Office of Police Conduct Reviews on 10 separate occasions. So why is this guy even allowed to be a police officer with all that going on? Why isn't he at least on desk duty? Dial, as I said before, he settled for out of court lawsuit. Those are the veterans and abusing people and using force, abusing their power as police officers, and actually making it tough on other police officers. So I mean, really, if you're a police officer, these kind of cats, you should put a stop to, because they're making your job hard. As you can see right now, they're making life hard for everybody, because now the whole country is in an uproar. Why? Because guys like this are running amok and being defended. Well, not these guys are being defended, but they're going to have, well, you know what? We're going to see what happens, because, you know, as another friend of mine says, makes a point. What happens is they wait till they get it in court, and that's how they resolve the issue. That's how they get the cop off. They get him off either short time, acquittal, whatever. I mean, that's what lawyers do. But here we have videotape of them killing a man. So I mean, how can they? You know, how can he avoid 25 plus 10 not concurrent? I just want to know, how can he do that, especially with his record? So Floyd's death has become a national flashpoint for racial injustice. And I guess some of us might have thought, since we had a black president for 8 years, that stuff had disappeared. But it was still prevalent when he was president. Activist groups have called it a public lynching, and protesters are clashing with police in Minneapolis. In Minneapolis, Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and St. Paul, both of those, they burnt the police precinct down. I think they evacuated the precinct anyway because of they anticipated, I guess, being overrun. Which good thing they got up out of there. You see? Because you wouldn't want to be there with that mob coming up. They said the FBI are investigating the case and no charges have been brought against officers originally. That was before Tuesday. Excuse me. From CNN, one day later, the officers involved in were fired Tuesday. The incident happened on Monday. They were fired on Tuesday, right? Let me see what happened. They said, the Police Officer Federation in Minneapolis said in a statement, the officers were cooperating in the investigation and urged, now is not the time to rush to judgment while the officer's actions are examined. That right there might piss some people off. That would piss me off. It's like, what do you mean examine? It's on videotape. Examine what? What are you examining? The man got his hands behind his back. What type of dangers are these officers in? Because you can't use the I fear for my life scenario. You can't use that. That's dead. You can't use that. Minneapolis police said the officers were responding to an alleged forgery Monday evening. Person later described as the suspect was sitting on a car. They found Floyd, who at that point was inside a car, and police say he physically resisted after he got out. There's video on that. Officers handcuffed Floyd, who police said appeared to be suffering medical distress. He sat down on a wall, and I seen him lean to the side when he was on the wall. He was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead, police said. That ain't even a half of the story. Anyway, the rush of judgment is to arrest and sentence Floyd to a heinous death on the street. Floyd did not deserve to be abused and eventually murdered. It is time to give these four police officers what they deserve and is not simply being fired from the police force. How many people can murder somebody and all they get is fired from their job? That's a hell of a statement to make. Floyd appeared to be dead at the scene. The sick and sadistic Chauvin continued to apply deadly force up until the emergency crew arrived because in Chauvin's delusional mind, maybe he sought to give the impression that he believed there was a need to restrain Floyd. I just took a shot at that. Shot at Phil. Why was he doing that? The videotape speaks for itself. Anyone who attempts to explain away Chauvin's intentional cruelty is simply in concert and agreement with Chauvin's murdering of Floyd. There are many more Floyds in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis community, and in the USA community. Who's going to be next? CNN captured videos. Videos captured by bystanders at the scene of the arrest shows an officer with his knee pressed against the neck of Floyd, who was handcuffed on the pavement. It looked like he's on the street to me, complaining that his body hurt and he couldn't breathe. What happened to the knee on his neck? And it just seemed like the people just writing the narrative that they're writing. That's not what happened. He's handcuffed with a man putting his body weight on his knee, on his neck. Two officers handled the man on the ground while another stood nearby with his eyes on bystanders as traffic passed. That man should have been breaking up that shit. He should have broke that up. Surveillance video obtained from a nearby restaurant showed the first point a contact police had with the man. An officer escorts a handcuffed Floyd out of a car, and Floyd sits on the sidewalk. Moments later, the officer and another escort Floyd away, still with his hands behind his back. What is that all about? Man in medical duress. He's in medical distress. From Associated Press, Floyd protesters set Minneapolis police station on fire. That's the third district where they say these guys come from. Cheering protesters broke into a Minneapolis police precinct station on Thursday after the department abandoned it, setting it ablaze and igniting fireworks as 3 days of violent protests spread to cities across the U.S. over the death of George Floyd, a handcuffed black man. People are getting tired of that. These protesters are not are just black people. And this could have been avoided if somebody had taken heed to all of this killing by law enforcement. If you're going to represent the law, you gotta represent the law right. You can't be a killer and represent the law. You can't be an abuser and represent law. You cannot do that. Protesters could be seen setting fire to a Minneapolis police department jacket and cheering. So that's an effigy of a police officer, I guess. So this is one reason why that guy, Chauvin, needs to stay right with, and he probably in PC somewhere. He probably ain't with the population. Because once he get in population, he's done. Especially with that little background that he got for doing things to people. I'm sure there's a lot of people in prison licking their chops waiting for him to come through on the block. The third precinct covers the portion of South Minneapolis where Floyd died. So that's why they attacked. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz earlier Thursday activated the National Guard at the Minneapolis mayor's request, but it wasn't immediately clear when and where the guard was being deployed, and none could be seen during protests in Minneapolis or St. Paul. They call those the Twin Cities. So the guard tweeted minutes after the precinct burned that it had activated more than 500 soldiers across the metro area. Our good old president, in all his infinite wisdom, tweeted, this guy needs to stay up off of the tweet. He needs to not talk. He needs to get somebody to stick their hand in his back and help him when he needs to, when he wants to speak to the public, because I don't know what's wrong with Trump. Anyway, they say Donald Trump reportedly tweeted, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. I heard he got a visit at the White House gates. Crowd of people. Anyway, back to the article. They said hundreds of demonstrators returned Thursday to the Minneapolis neighborhood at the center of the violence where the nightmare scene veered between an angry protest and a street party. At one point, a band playing in the parking lot across from the third precinct broke into a punk version of Bob Marley's Redemption song nearly nearby. Demonstrators carried clothing mannequins from a looted target and threw them into a burning car. Later, a building fire erupted nearby. So this thing just got nasty. I guess some people intended to have a nonviolent protest, and then others were fed up, and it became violent. They were angry, and I'm not saying that it's the best thing to do, but it's what happened as a result of people in authority not addressing the violence that's being perpetrated on the community or people of color in a just way. They said, but elsewhere in Minneapolis, thousands of peaceful demonstrations marched through the streets calling for justice. We've been marching through the streets, I don't know, man, how long we've been doing that. Medgar Evers and Martin Luther King, ever since then. That was the 60s. We still marching, rioting, because we want justice. It's almost like the message is, F y'all. You know, y'all ain't getting nothing. We don't care about y'all. Anyway. Local leaders have repeatedly urged demonstrators to avoid violence. So, that's the situation. And basically, it's sad that it's come to the whole nation, all these riots and protests, peaceful protests, violent protests, burning up police cars, burning police precincts. All of that could have been avoided if you stop showing favoritism to law enforcement officers who are bad seeds, who are doing things that are wrong, who are shooting people in the back, and come on now. This is ridiculous. And because this is probably an accumulative effect of all these things that have been happening. Orlando Castile, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, all these people lost their lives and suspicious very suspicious situations where police, what's his name, Gray, what's the guy named? Somebody Gray. What's the brother name? Was got choked out because he was selling Lucy. He sold Lucy cigarettes. They choked him out. It's ridiculous. We have these people who have no problem using lethal force, and they get away with it, killing people who are not presenting a lethal threat, but using lethal force, and you okay? You okay with that? So people are getting tired of that. The lynching has got to stop. You know, there's no more trees and ropes. It's guns. It's got to stop. One of the protesters, they interviewed somebody who was a protester, and she's saying that she had been at every single protest since Floyd's death and was worried about raising children who would be vulnerable in police encounters. So then people are afraid for the children now. And that's another thing I want to say. It's women out there in this protest. I've seen women in the violent protest. So this thing has, you know, they let this thing fester. And now we got this explosion. People aren't doing their jobs. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, people are getting away with murder. And, hey, nobody wants that. They said most of the Minneapolis violence occurred in the Longfellow neighborhood. Your protesters converged on the precinct station. So Longfellow neighborhood. So Minneapolis police kill blacks at a rate 13 times higher than whites, says Samuel Sinwage on the Roland Martin show. Now, I hope that is one stat that is inaccurate. 13 times higher than whites? That's like genocide. And it's not good anyway. It sounds like they're killing whites and they're killing blacks just 13 times higher than they kill whites. So it's not a good thing. Nonviolent and violent is the result of the violence perpetrated by police going unaddressed, police not being held accountable for their actions, a total disregard for human life, particularly black life in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis community. It's like a disease that has been allowed to go untreated, unaddressed. Now the disease is spreading and law enforcement is at risk. You can't expect to place your foot on the neck of a community and not expect that community to rise up against its antagonizers, because that's exactly what just happened. It seems the National Guard was needed to save the life of the many Floyds in the community. It's obvious the police cannot police the police and cannot be expected to act against fellow offending officers. Has there been an instance where a police officer has arrested another police officer on the scene? And how often has that happened? This isn't new. It's the same old racist, classist, oppressive, authoritarian, sociopathic aggression that has been perpetrated by police departments since the forming of the police department. It could be a diabolical plan to gain or seize power through the chaos generated by police aggression and murder and civil unrest. I don't know what it is. but it's got to stop. So I wanted to talk about another incident, but we don't have enough time to talk about it. And I just want to say, you know, people out there, I know you're upset. And if you can fall back a little bit with the rioting and see if we can see what kind of results we're going to get from this situation, because it's not over yet. You still have a trial. You still have 3 suspects that haven't been indicted. And I don't know if Chauvin is committing a crime and those 3 are assisting him, enabling him to commit that crime, it would seem logical and legal that those 3 be pursued as suspects in the crime that Chauvin committed, which is a murder. To me, first-degree murder. Because, hey, the man saying, I can't breathe. People around him say he can't breathe. People, the man is in distress. The people around him are in distress. But if you look at that Chauvin's face, no effect. He has a flat effect regarding the life of that man. He had time to think about what he was doing. He's been on the force long enough to know what he was doing, know what to do. So he had to make a decision not to do what he should do. I say it's premeditated, and I say he intended to take that man's life, or else what do you have your knee on a man who's handcuffed behind his back, begging for his life? What do you have your knee on his neck for? It's a problem. He's not the first, and unfortunately, he won't be the last, because it seems like no matter what, this continues to happen. And what are we going to do, burn the whole country down? Now, what's going to happen? Some changes need to be made. And you need to make examples of these guys. And the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy. If you want to give people first-degree murder charges for killing cops, you should give cops first-degree murder charges when they unlawfully cause the death of anybody. When they're committing a felony, they should get first degree too. Why is it a different law for the police officer? A life is a life. That makes no sense to me. Your life is as important and precious as a police officer's life. So if it's first degree, it should meet the criteria for first-degree murder. And it's apparent, you know, you have to think about what you're doing to people. So he's not even in a fit of rage or anything like that. There's no combat. So it can't be anything but first-degree murder. Everybody's all right with choking this man out, causing his death. He said he can't breathe. Are you all right with that? Because I wouldn't be all right with that. If I'm a police officer and I see somebody choking somebody, period. I'm not all right with that. You going to beat somebody up? No. Not all right with that. But I'm definitely not going to let you put a civilian's life at risk or kill a civilian if I'm a police officer. That's why I probably couldn't be a police officer. They probably typical me and have me shot. Let me get shot in one of the shootouts or something. I don't know, shoot me in the head or something, instead of aiming at the suspect. Because I wouldn't go for that. And if you're a police officer and you're out there, Start acting like one. Start being one and speaking out. It was a lady that spoke out at a meeting, and she said she spoke out and she got fired. She's a police officer. She spoke out against police brutality and she lost her job, black lady. So I understand that. But if you are a police officer, you want respect, you got to respect the law. Respect what you say you stand for. And arrest any police officer that's violating the law. Just like you would a civilian. Especially when it comes to assault and murder. Come on now. All right, so I want to, you know, thank everybody for tuning in today, tonight. And I'm sorry that I couldn't, you know, it's on a sad note. I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. Also, Blog Talk Radio. And all, as always, my listeners and the creator. Up till next week, everyone reach out. Reach one. Teach one. Until next time, y'all. Peace out.